Michael Parr is onside here with the bicycle. You have absolutely got to be kidding me. There's nothing that Michael Parr can't do.
What a finish from Michael Parr. You take that from your centre forward, let alone your centre half. What a finish. What athleticism. How acrobatic for Michael Parr.
Oh, boy. Welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined, I'm going to say, as always, by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. What's up, Carter? How are you, man?
I'm great. It's an Ike Bike edition of the show today, Nate.
The Twitter handle of Sporting Kansas City has been taken over by the hashtag Ike Bike. I will say, as a play-by-play man, and you as yourself as one as well, I'm a little disappointed that that didn't come to my mind right when the play happened, but I was pretty stunned by what I had seen on the field at the time. So it's just kind of one of those things where whatever comes out of your mouth at that time is what you're stuck with. And what a moment that was. And it's led me to I've been asked by several people, is that the best goal you've ever seen? I don't think so.
No.
But it's up there.
I mean, it's fantastic. And it was awesome to watch it unfold as well. It was kind of like it was almost in slow motion, just the ball getting pumped forward from Beisler, and then it just checked up perfectly.
Yeah, and he had the body control and the wherewithal and apparently the foresight to plan out that he was going to do that, and that turned out to be the game winner for Sporting Kansas City. As I'm announcing that goal in that moment, and to be honest with you, both goals that took place in that game against the LA Galaxy, there's a moment where, I don't know how, if you feel this way sometimes when you're calling the swoop games, where I'm going, did I just see that? Did what I think happened really just happen? And you kind of want to make sure for a second, because you don't want to go crazy if, no, the ball was actually rattling around on the outside of the goal or the wrong side of the net or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of wait for a second to react to, okay, are the guys celebrating? Is this really a goal? Did that guy really just punch the ball into his own net?
Yeah, a bit of a surprise. Bit of a surprise element on that one as well.
Yeah, and then did I just really see Ike Parra do a bicycle and score, you know? And as soon as you figure out, yeah, that's what happened, you kind of have to go crazy, you know?
And you would have to go crazy on that Ike goal. Made number one on the top 10 as well, deservedly so. It was just an incredible goal, like you said, the foresight. He saw the keeper coming out, and he knew, if I could just get a touch, get this over him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did.
Well, we will talk about that goal, maybe put it in some context, historically, whatever. We will talk more importantly about the win for Sporting Kansas City against the LA Galaxy, what it means going forward. We will talk some U.S. men's national team, as three members of Sporting Kansas City are now in Nashville, Tennessee, with the national team, getting ready for first a friendly against Ghana, and then the basically month-long, hopefully, Gold Cup for the United States men's national team. And Dom Dwyer making his debut there. We're going to hear from Dom Dwyer, some comments he's had about this opportunity for him becoming an American citizen and now getting to fulfill his dream of playing in a U.S. men's national team shirt. We will visit with Kerry Zavagnin, who is on his way right now. Full disclosure, he's on his way right now to Houston, Texas with the team as they are getting ready for the U.S. Open Cup. So we taped this interview a little earlier today, and we'll play that here in the next segment as we'll get a little bit of a preview from him on this Open Cup game against the Houston Dynamo. And then we'll also talk with a guy that you know, Carter, because you worked with him on some games down in Dallas, Texas earlier this year, but Matt Pettersson, who is going to be on the call of the U.S. Open Cup game between Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City at 5:30 tomorrow night. By the way, we're having a watch party down at No Other Pub. Come on down. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get maybe the Houston Dynamo side of things.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these Open Cup games depend a lot on circumstances and who's available, who's not, We're going to get a lot of information on that from Kerry Zavagnin here in a moment, but we'll get that side of the story from the Houston Dynamo as well. And as I said, we'll also preview the other match coming up this week for Sporting, which is against the Portland Timbers, which is going to be off the hook. People still say that was really 1998,
man,
wasn't it?
It's going to be off the chizang.
I just took a step back into 2001. How's everybody doing?
Yo, it's going to be a fat game, though.
It's going to be lit.
There you go.
Is that more current?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is, the stadium.
That's more current than I know.
Yeah, that's good enough. The stadium's going to be going crazy. We're expecting a fantastic crowd, standing room only. You've got first place Sporting Kansas City against Carter is a stickler for tiebreakers, so I won't say second place Portland Timbers, as they're technically, I believe, in third place, but they're tied on points.
Tied on points. You can say that.
Second place.
You can say that.
They're a contender in the Western Conference. They're coming off a really frustrating outcome in the Cascadia Cup game against Seattle Sounders on Sunday night, and they don't have a midweek game. They will be cruising right into this one because they lost in the U.S. Open Cup in the last round. So we'll preview that game as well. But let's talk a little bit about this this game down or over in Los Angeles, California. LA Galaxy 1, Sporting Kansas City 2. And I thought even if the goal from Roger Espinoza was a gift by Clement Diop, and what a disaster it was for him.
I thought
the result was fair. I thought Sporting Kansas City was the better team. There have been a couple of games recently on the road where they didn't get a result that I thought they deserved. This time, I thought maybe they got a little bit of a gift, but I thought they still deserved to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. And especially that first half, I don't think LA was really in the game at all. And Sporting goes up with a 2-0 lead into the halftime break. And I think they put it on cruise control for the rest of the half, for the rest of the game. LA came back into it in the second half, made a couple subs, and they started getting a little more possession and wound up having 17 shots, but just a 5 on target. And so I agree with you. I think it was a very comprehensive display from Sporting KC. Really, Tim Mealy didn't have a whole lot to do, even with those 17 shots, other than the goal. And he almost prevented that as well with some acrobatic goalkeeping, but trickled over the line and that led to a grandstand finish. But I agree. I think it was 3 points well deserved, and maybe it was a gift from Diop. But now there's a gif of Diop going around on the internet, it's a pretty good one with the shirt over the face. I mean, how else could he feel there?
Yeah, and that was credit to our camera guys and the guys in the truck for getting those pictures, because a picture says 1,000 words right there. I mean, as an announcer, you can say all you want, but the picture of him with the jersey up over his head said way more
that was brilliant.
Than anything you could say, because it was, at some point in our life, we've all been there in some capacity or another where we just want to pull up a shirt over our head and disappear. But as you said, I thought Sporting Kansas City, if there's one disappointment in the game for me, it's simply that Sporting did not cash in on some of the chances that they had in the second half to get that third goal, because they did show again that when other teams, once LA had to come out and press, I was very impressed with Sporting Kansas City's determination and confidence to play out of the back against that press. I mean, the center halves for Sporting were flattening out almost to the end line. Tamil was rolling the ball to Ico Parra or Matt Beisler, and they would ping the ball around all the way up the field, and they had themselves some breakaway opportunities to score. Dom Dwyer found himself in an offside position on one. Gerso ended up hitting the post on another. But I thought it all was great. And you had that sense. I felt like I even talked to one of the coaches for Sporting, if they got a third, a fourth was coming too.
Yeah.
You know, and they just didn't get that third. And I'm nitpicking here because it was a great win on the road. But that's the only disappointment that I have in the game, is that they did everything to get that third goal and they just didn't do it, which put them under a lot of pressure the last 10, 15 minutes of the game.
And that's the big point there, right? Because we've talked about how just they haven't really gotten the results on the road so far this season. And some of the performances we thought deserved a little better than the results that they got. And so that's what if they could have just gotten that third and really put the game to bed right there, really put the sword to LA, I think you're right. They wouldn't have had to have that late punch from Tim Melia that really sealed the deal, because LA hadn't been in the game for 70 minutes. They get the late goal, and then they did kind of ramp up the pressure for the last 10. So you would like to see them be a little more, be a little more lethal when they do get those nice counterattacks, or not counterattacks, when they get those nice attacks late in the game when LA is pressing. And you're right, they played well out of the back to get those chances as well.
And some of those were counterattack opportunities for sure. I mean, we see with the pace of Latif Blessing and Jurso that that is something that can be on for Sporting Kansas City. They just weren't able to, they just weren't able to capitalize on it, but they get the win. Yeah. And I think that it puts to rest a lot of this talk of Sporting Kansas City's road form, because I don't think the results necessarily have matched the performances on the road of late. There have been a couple of games this year. You know, I don't feel like the Toronto game, for example, I don't feel like there was really a goal in that game for the most part. Dom Dwyer had a couple of chances here and there. There have been a couple of games on the road this year where maybe they didn't look much like scoring. But the last three games now, Sporting Kansas City have gone on the road. They've had the majority of the possession. They've been dangerous in the attack, and they've looked like the better team. And so I think this can quiet down some of that talk of their results on the road, and it gives them a five-point cushion in the Western Conference, which seems like a big cushion considering how tight this race is right now.
Yeah, and considering how tight the SKC defense is as well. Yeah. It's going to take some doing to catch them. And, they, of course, they've lost the three players for the Gold Cup, which will be tough to – and we'll see how deep the squad is. But that five-point cushion is a good one as we head pretty close now into July. Of course, the next MLS game will be in July, and – how crucial is it always, July, August, into September? That's when the cream starts to separate from the crop, and we'll have to see if the depth is tested, but that 5 points is going to do them a world of good. On the other hand, that's a weird L.A. team. I can't remember seeing an L.A. team like that. I mean, outside of Alessandrini, really just bereft of quality, I thought. You know, and you got to think that they're going to bring some reinforcements in the summer as well, so perhaps Sporting with the good performance, but they get him at the right time as well and nab those 3 points on the road.
I mean, obviously, that's always one of the big storylines in MLS, which teams strengthen in the summer and effectively, which teams can strengthen effectively. Nico Ladero was the most notable one from last year that helped Seattle go on to win a cup. I know Sporting Kansas City are talking about being active in the summer. We'll see if they have something up their sleeve that they can add to what is already such a good team. But also remember that LA Galaxy get a player like Gio Dos Santos back.
That's true.
From international duty.
A bunch of injuries as well. Yeah. Jermaine Jones out.
Yeah,
a
lot of
Sebastian
injuries.
Sebastian Legette out. And, you know, you lose Dos Santos, Legette, and Jones from any team, and it's going to be tough to make up.
Bajo Husidic has been out.
Yep.
I don't personally find the Jermaine Jones injury information to be surprising whatsoever. I figured you're looking at 10 to 15 games out of him this year. Yeah. That's what he basically gave the Rapids last year. So we'll see what he brings to the table, but we'll also see if they bring in more. One of the biggest disappointments has been Jossie's artist.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Brutal. He's been brutal, and he still got called up. So, you know, hopefully he can find some type of form. But, man, it's been a weird year for Jossie. I don't know what's happened. Maybe, you know, is it just no Robbie Keane, no Jossie's artist? Is that, I mean, it's been a weird year.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up that he gets called up despite the form. I think one of the things we're seeing from Bruce Arena is he did not base his decisions for this Gold Cup based on current MLS form by any stretch of the imagination, because Aiko Parra and Tim Melia would be there if that was the biggest determining factor. And I hate to say this, but to be perfectly honest, I don't think Dom Dwyer would. I think he made these decisions more based off what his belief in the players has been over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe I'm not saying that's the wrong move. Maybe that's the right move, you know, but Dom Dwyer hasn't scored a goal in a while, and he's missed a lot of chances so far this year. Tim Melia has been the best goalkeeper in MLS. Aiko Parra has been maybe the best center half in MLS, but Bruce Arena is maybe taking a bigger viewpoint of it. What he thinks the guys will be, what he thinks the guys have been over a long period of time. And maybe that's the right move, but I do find it interesting because sometimes a lot of people will look at it that way. Like, hey, wait a second. Which guy is playing best right now? Those are the guys that have earned the call-ups. And that hasn't been, at least the way I look at it, the way he's assembled this roster.
Well, yeah, certainly. When you look at Jossie's artist, I think that's a prime example. He wouldn't get into any team, really, on his current form. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting, for sure. It's a very interesting, eclectic mix, like you mentioned. He's just trying to check out who can pull a Stuart Holden and use a Gold Cup to force their way into a World Cup roster.
Yeah. That's kind of what Matt Beisler, I mean, it wasn't just the Gold Cup. It was some of the qualifying, too. But that was part of the jumping off point for Matt Beisler in the last World Cup cycle, for sure, when that team won that Gold Cup in 2013, if I have my years correct. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Kerry Zavagnin. Again, we had to tape this interview a little earlier today because the team right now is flying to Houston, Texas for the Open Cup game tomorrow night. But we'll get all the details on what's coming up in that game with Kerry Zavagnin right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Apparently, we're going with the 90s.
Nice.
Is that what that was, Charlie? Well done, buddy.
Did we hear that in a bar in Venice Beach on the weekend?
Hey, we were singing along quite a bit to it, weren't we? I don't think, we were singing Nobody Likes You When You're 23.
That's true.
You know, same genre, right?
What's My Age Again?
Yeah, that song. Yep. We were singing that one. But this one's better. I like Girl at the Rock Show even better.
That one's playing too.
Maybe. I don't know. Agree to disagree. I don't know. Welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show. Charlie up on things. It's off the hook in here is what it is. We're playing 90s music. We're making 90s references. We're doing what we can. As Sporting Kansas City got a 2-1 win over the LA Galaxy, I had a chance to catch up with Kerry Zavagnin on the phone earlier today before the team took off, and I asked him just his thoughts on the performance against the Galaxy.
Well, I think the performance over the course of the year, the performance is, on the road have been pretty solid. We feel like we've gone into opponents' homes and played our game and controlled a lot of the game. Unfortunately, the results haven't been there as many times as we would have liked. And fortunately, going to a difficult place like L.A. Over the years, it's been a challenge for us. And to not only play well, but to get the result is certainly rewarding. And I know from the player's point of view, it gives them a lot of confidence to be able to go on the road again and to get a result.
From a coach's point of view, does it make it easier? Because I know as coaches, you can focus on the process a little bit more than just the result. But does it make it easier to get the guys to stick with that process? Because like you said, yeah, they've been playing well, but maybe they're frustrated with the results. Does it make it easier to have them stick with it now that they've gotten a great result like that?
Yeah, I think every little bit helps. But I would say that this group has been very sound from the beginning in terms of the buy-in. We've been relatively successful over the early part of the season, and as we reach the halfway point, we find ourselves being a very good defensive team, creating a lot of chances. And I think the players understand that the difference between us having more points and not is taking a few more of our opportunities that we've been creating in games. But certainly when you go on the road and you're able to withstand the second half push by the home team and to come through that, you know, you can't recreate that in training. And so as much as we've prepared the players for the game, they have to go and they have to have those experiences. And that's going to be vital as we go down the stretch into the second half of the season. And we know when you get into playoff-type games and into the playoffs, you're going to have to be able to withstand that kind of pressure. And so a great exercise for the guys and to get 3 points at the same time certainly gives a lot of confidence for everybody.
Now, give me your perspective on Iko Parra's goal. How did you see it, and what went through your mind when you saw it?
Well, I think, internally, and I think people that have watched Iko Parra over the years understand that he's a very athletic player, has tremendous ability, power, and strength, and this play. I don't know if he could do it 8 out of 10 times, but in speaking with him after the game, he certainly said that he was lining it up as he saw the ball bouncing. He thought that was the only way he was going to get a shot on frame, and it was great innovation. It was outstanding athleticism, and feel really good for him because he's been in and around the box on set pieces. You know, had a header a couple weeks ago, and has scored goals over the years on set pieces. But to get that second chance and the way in which he went about it. Was just an incredible athletic play.
Right, we're visiting with Kerry Zavagnin as Sporting Kansas City coming off a win at the LA Galaxy. Now turn their attention back to the U.S. Open Cup. And this is one in difficult circumstances, Kerry, for a lot of reasons, which we'll get to. But number one, maybe at least the first one I'll ask you about, is 5:30 in the afternoon in Houston, Texas, in the middle of summer. That does not sound like ideal conditions. What type of a challenge will that be for the team?
Well, it all depends on how much of the ball we have. We've had a lot of possession over the course of our games, and I think that's saved the energy of our players, and certainly it's become the style, the standard, and the model in which we play. And so the ball will be vitally important for us to have in this game and as we continue through the summer months. But in Houston at 5:30, certainly that will pose a challenge. But Houston in and of itself, the team that they have, the year that they've been having and playing in their home venue is going to be a daunting task as well. So we have a lot of challenges that we're going to be facing coming into this game. But in order to win the Open Cup and to become the champions in this competition, you have to go through these kinds of tests and these kinds of games. And so what we feel good about is that, as we were talking about a minute ago, of the confidence that you get from going to LA and getting a result, I think that has trickled over into the group heading into this game. So we go down there with a lot of confidence that we can play our game and despite a very good opponent, we can get a result.
All right, the other challenge could come on the roster, and there are several different reasons for that. Number one, you've got three guys off with the national team and Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, and Dom Dwyer. Number two, we know that Benny Failhaber took a pretty serious knock in the game against the LA Galaxy. And number three, the U.S. Open Cup has a limit to how many international players you can have on your roster in this game. So how much will your roster and lineup be tested when it comes to this competition in this particular circumstance?
Well, when we start off the year and we get our team, when we finalize our roster and we head into the year, we mention to the guys that at one point or many different points throughout the year, every person in the room is going to contribute to the success of this team. And so we're getting into those times right now, obviously, with the Gold Cup being probably the biggest hurdle in terms of losing three players to that will test the depth of our roster. It'll give a few guys an opportunity not only to be in the 18, but to potentially get on the field and have an impact in a competition that we really want to win. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, we've tried as much as we can to prepare these guys for an opportunity to make it count when they get out there. And now it's up to them to take advantage of that. And so, as I said, the group is strong. The group is confident. And the players that haven't been getting major minutes, maybe we're going to see them in the next coming games here.
So I believe in U.S. Open Cup, you get five international roster spots that you can use. You guys have eight on your current MLS roster. No. How big of a challenge does that make it?
It's a massive challenge considering the players that we've lost to the Gold Cup. You know, some teams lose other players in CONCACAF, and those make up their foreign players. Unfortunately, we lose our Americans and our green card holder, well, now a citizen, with Dom and Zusi and Bees. And then when you add to that the injury from Benny, those are four American players. And so it really tests your American depth while challenging the selections that you have for your foreigners, because as you said, you know, we have eight of them, all very good, and we have to unfortunately limit that to five. So another test outside of the very good Houston team, the weather, the travel, the conditions, all of this is a test, but we feel very fortunate that we have the opportunity to go down there to get a result and to come back home and carry on in the competition.
And just because this is only the second year that Swope Park Rangers have been in existence, for fans that are wondering, do you have the flexibility if you need to dip down into Rangers and call a guy up for Open Cup? How does that work?
Yeah, we do have the opportunity to dip down in the Rangers if there was a situation where our partner club or our affiliate team is participating in the competition and those players play in an Open Cup game, then they will become ineligible. Fortunately for us, we have access to all of these players because they haven't played in the competition yet. So the answer to that is yes. There are some foreigners on the Swope Park team, obviously, which we won't be using. But we're going to look into that roster. It's why we have this team, to get players prepared to play into the first team. And so certainly we're going to look very closely at these players and adding them to not only our 18, but maybe our 11 at some point.
Kerry Zavagnin is our guest, and before I let you go, Kerry, I know your focus right now is on the Houston game, but we won't talk to you again before your team comes back and plays against the Portland Timbers. And right now, you got a 5-point lead in the West. The Timbers are one of those teams that are tied for points, at least in second place. So this is one of those contenders. Tell me just about what kind of a challenge you think it'll be. It should be a fantastic atmosphere, from what I understand. The tickets are selling fast, have sold fast. It's Children's Mercy Park on Saturday. What do you expect from that one?
Well, we're really excited about this week. I know we just talked about the Open Cup, and certainly this is something that we're focused on right now. But we certainly have, in the back of our minds, the Portland game this week. And coming back home after being on the road for two games plus an away Open Cup game is going to be exciting. We've done well in front of our fans, and certainly they've helped us along the way to get the results and have the success that we've had at home. So Portland are a very good team. They're a very good team on the road because they counterattack very well and they have some very good players. And as you said, they're right below us in the standings, and there's a lot of points out there to be had. And with 18 games played, we find ourselves in first place, but we certainly want to keep it that way. And this conference rival in which we've certainly developed a good rivalry over the last couple of years in the playoff games and what have you. It's going to be a very good test for us, a very good atmosphere, as you say, and certainly our ability to not only navigate through this Open Cup week in which Portland doesn't play midweek, to navigate, to get out of that with the result that we want, to remain healthy and to recover for Saturday's game off of short rest, is going to be paramount in determining our success on the weekend.
All right, so there is Kerry Zavagnin. His Sporting Kansas City are on their way to Houston, Texas right now for the U.S. Open Cup game tomorrow night. Again, kickoff is at 5:30. The Houston Dash will be playing later that night, and I don't think it's any coincidence that that the men's side decided to play their game first, maybe put Sporting Kansas City under the conditions, the full force of the conditions down in Houston, Texas, in this game. And also the women's game had already been scheduled before that. Tickets have already been sold. So 5:30 tomorrow, we're going to have a watch party down at No Other Pub. Come on down. We'll watch the game and see if Sporting Kansas City can advance to the next round of, which would be, I believe, the quarterfinals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. They will go on to take on the winner of Dallas versus Colorado Rapids if they win tomorrow, and that game is going on right now. Also getting ready to start right now is Swope Park Rangers at the Tulsa Roughnecks, and we'll give you some information on that in just a second, Carter, because as I taped that interview with Carter Augustine, you could hear that we talked about some of the roster issues that Sporting have to deal with going down to Houston. Being without three players who are in the Gold Cup, and all three of those players being American-born, actually particularly punishes Sporting Kansas City here, because you only get to use five international players in the U.S. Open Cup. That means that, for example, the Houston Dynamo, they're missing a couple of guys on the Honduran national team. Well, Albert Elise and Kyoto are really good players, but they might not have played anyway. I mean, it doesn't hurt them as much. So Sporting Kansas City have had to make some roster moves here, and today they added Carlton Belmar, Felipe Hernandez, and Parker Maher on loan from the U.S. Open for the U.S. Open Cup match down in Houston, Texas. Now, in addition, Sporting Kansas City sent Cameron Iwasa, Tyler Pasher, Diego Rubio, Daniel Shalloway, and Adrian Zendejas to the Swope Park Rangers for tonight's battle against Tulsa Roughnecks. We'll give you something on the lineup there for that game. But this isn't the case with all those guys. But what we're seeing here is some guys who hold international roster spots for Sporting Kansas City going down to play and get their minutes with Swope Park Rangers, while guys who are American-born players with Swope Park Rangers are getting called up in case they need depth in those games, and we might get a chance to see some young guys play there.
Yeah, and I think Peter Vermees had to do a little, like, Matt Damon in the movie that I just blanked on, where he's a math whiz. Wow.
Good Will Hunting.
Wow, yeah. I just blanked on it. Thank you. But he, you know, I'm seeing, like, the numbers flying across his face as he has to withdraw three American players, and so they shuffle the lineups around. And I think you're exactly right. They throw a couple international guys into the Rangers squad and bring up a couple American guys to make up the numbers for the Open Cup team. And It's good to see Diego Rubio starting tonight for the Rangers, so keep an eye on that as they are, I think, about to play now.
Yep, they got the stream up right now.
Yeah.
And in that starting lineup, you know, you mentioned Diego Rubio, Daniel Shalloway, Adrian Zendejas, all in there today for Swope Park Rangers, so we'll kind of keep an eye on that one as we continue with the show here. But tell us a little bit about, because you do the play-by-play for the Swope Park Rangers home games, you've seen these guys all play a little bit. Tell us a little bit about these three guys that that could get action tomorrow against the Houston Dynamo.
The three guys coming up. So first, Parker Marr is a left back, brought him over from St. Louis, and started the season. He started the first game. I thought he was excellent. And then he's a left back and a lefty and very strong defensively and also very quick. And I thought he was a bit unlucky to lose his place. And then he was out of the team for a little bit, but since then he's kind of come back in and grabbed the spot and made it his and isn't trying to relinquish it anytime soon. And he's played some right back as well. So I think he's taken this Swope Park Rangers opportunity and really grabbed it by the horns. So I credit him. And he's a strong defender, a strong fullback. Then Carlton Belmar, he's coming. He was the USL Rookie of the Year a couple years ago, coming out of Portland Timbers 2. Last year just didn't happen for him. And we've heard Peter Vermees talk about some guys just needing a change of scenery, like John Kempen, for instance. And I think this was the case for this guy. And so he changed the scenery to Kansas City, and he's leading the Rangers in goal scoring. He's very powerful, and he can hold the ball pretty well. He likes to drop really deep as well and get involved. But he's been a good player for the Rangers this year, so he's got some good attacking qualities. But I think the guy that most guys will be excited, or most people will be excited for, is Felipe Hernandez, who's an academy product, center midfielder, creative, can keep it ticking over. And I think he'll be more of a box-to-box guy in the future, and that's what he's been playing as well. He's got an engine. He can just run for days. And so, you know, it's a big call for him. Hopefully he gets to see some time, and he'll obviously know the system in and out, having come up through the academy. So I think he'll be the one that most people will be excited about.
Yeah, he's been a fixture on the U19s for the United States, and I talked with Kerry a little bit about him and did compare his engine to Roger Espinosa. Said he's that box-to-box kind of guy that seeks and destroys but can cover the entire field. So that's certainly something that we'll see if they get any action. They might just be there for reinforcements tomorrow night for the Houston Dynamo for coverage in case, you know, look, they've got to put 18 guys out there in case of, you know, substitutions or injuries too. So we'll see. We know Peter Vermees has a tendency to try to go for these things, but there are going to be some roster challenges with Beisler, Zusi, Dwyer, and Benny Failhaber all out for this game, three on international duty and Failhaber with the injury. We'll take a break. We'll find out what the latest is on the Houston side of things from Matt Pettersson as we come back. Sporting Kansas City getting ready to take on the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night. They are underway in Tulsa between the Roughnecks and Swope Park Rangers. So we'll keep you up to date on that, as well as the Sporting Kansas City show continues right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. U.S. Open Cup action tomorrow night, 5:30. Sporting Kansas City will be visiting the Houston Dynamo, and we'll have a watch party at No Other Pub, and we'll be watching the call by Matt Pettersson, who will be broadcasting this one online. And Matt is joining us on the show now. Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about where this Houston Dynamo team is coming into this game, because we've just spent our last segment talking about all the issues that Sporting Kansas City have to deal with, from international call-ups to injuries to players like Benny Failhaber. What about the Houston Dynamo? Give us a little thumbnail on, you know, who's maybe unavailable, at least most of note, and where they stand as they kind of try to prioritize this game in the middle of this busy stretch of MLS games as well.
Yeah, well, it's tough to keep track of, to be honest. But for my best guess, it's the three Hondurans, Ramel Kyoto, Albert Elise, and Bodiac Garcia, who are all with Honduras for the Gold Cup. And then Adolfo Machado, who's been a very good center back this year, playing just about every game. He'll be with Panama. So those are the four kind of bigger players that won't be available, and then just a matter of what Wilmer Cabrera decides to do and how much of the lineup he used against North Carolina FC a few weeks ago and how much he saves for the weekend against Colorado. So it kind of remains to be seen, but that's sort of who's available.
Matt, long time no talk since our Dallas days together, bud.
All right, Carter, good to talk to you as well.
Do you have any guess as to what Wilmer Cabrera is going to do for this game? Do you think he will prioritize MLS, or is he going to try and go for it?
You know, it's tough to know. I'm not around the team anymore like I was the last 5 years. It has been pretty quiet down at training in terms of what's available. I think Corey Repkin is the best guess as far as knowing from a man-on-the-ground perspective. He gave an indication it's going to be relying upon a lot of the lower roster players, some call-ups from Rio Grande Valley mixed in with some veterans in his article at the Houston Chronicle earlier in the week. So I think he has a good gauge on things. I do think you're going to see a few veterans sprinkled in there for sure, such as Andrew Wenger, Vicente Sanchez, Jaleel Ibaba, Joe Willis. Those guys played last week. There's no reason why they shouldn't play after playing against North Carolina. Just the rest of the team, how many of the A-teamers he's going to use and how many he wants to sprinkle in from the group that got it done in North Carolina.
So, Matt, you mentioned you're not around the team as closely as you have been in the past, but this Houston Dynamo team has really stood out to me in terms of teams that were really struggling the last couple of years who all of a sudden have gotten dynamic and exciting. They're in second place in the Western Conference right now. I know they've added some guys, but what about Wilmer Cabrera himself? What do you see from him, and how much has he changed maybe the mindset or culture or whatever of this Houston Dynamo team?
Yeah, he's very decisive, and I think he keeps everyone on their toes. From day one, he didn't really hand the starting goalkeeper job to Tyler Derrick, who's the homegrown guy from Houston. It's been a battle with him and Joe Willis, so I think that set the tone in the locker room. He also started Kubo Torres, I think based off form from preseason. Mm-hmm. Nate, you were down at the Desert Diamond Cup. You saw it firsthand. I think everyone in Houston thought Moran Benotis was one of the most surefire starters to start the season based off how he finished last year, including a hat trick against Portland and some big goals against Kansas City in the Open Cup. But he gave Kubo Torres a chance, and he's run with it. Guys like Alex Lima, who were having unbelievable seasons up to about a month ago, didn't play against Dallas on Friday. So there's been no sacred cow, so to speak. There's been no one that you pencil the name on the board week in, week out. I think that was the case in previous seasons with guys like Giles Barnes, Lou Bruin, some others. You know, no discredit to them. They showed up every day and started. But I think everyone's on their toes. Everyone's looking over their shoulder. And I think if you're not playing, you know it's not for any other reasons than performance.
And for your money, who has been performing for Houston this year? Who perhaps, if they get in the game, could we look out for against Sporting KC tomorrow?
Well, it's tough to not talk about Kyoto and Elise because they've been dominant, but I think the whole league knows about them. I think for tomorrow, Norman Otis is another one that obviously broke Kansas City hearts last year in this exact game. Whether he starts or not remains to be seen. I think the back four is going to be some familiar faces that you guys are familiar with, including Jaleel Ibaba. I think the interesting part will be a guy like Memo Rodriguez. He had the game-winning goal at North Carolina in the last round. He has had an up-and-down career, signed out of high school with the Dynamo, went to Charleston on loan, didn't really stick, was waived in a preseason, went to RGV, had a great year last year, and has really become a decent part of this team in terms of coming off the bench. So I think he'll play a big role tomorrow, and he is a nice player and one that it could make a difference in the game. I think Charlie Ward's another one from Rio Grande Valley that's come up that seems to be steady and someone that Wilmer can count on. That's the interesting part of this is that guys that play tomorrow that maybe aren't household names to Kansas City fans or even Dynamo fans are guys Wilmer knows well from his days last year with Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that seems to have been something that, you know, a little bit of a page out of the FC Dallas book when it comes to Oscar Pareja and Wilmer Cabrera taking over those teams with great strong ties to the youth development situation. You mentioned Kyoto and Elise. Certainly, it seems like those two have just absolutely changed the way that that team plays. But also, Kubo Torres and Mauro Manotas seem to have been able to maintain a goal-scoring form so far this year. And I'm wondering how that balancing act has gone. You talked about how at the beginning he didn't just give the job to Manotas. How is that balance working out for the team so far this year?
I think it's worked out pretty well. It's basically been four players for three spots, those three attacking positions, and the three we talked about in Manotas. And Manotas was on the outside looking in to start, but he's worked his way in. The balance has been good. I think at times maybe the most offensive lineup is with Torres, Elise, and Kyoto. I think Benotis, at least of late, has been the more honest defender. So like on Friday night, he started, and they brought Elise off the bench. So maybe Minotis is a little bit more disciplined in playing both ways in the 4-3-3. So that's probably the question going in the second half of the season is if everyone's healthy and everyone's back, who makes the front three out of those four and what Wilmer wants out of it? They obviously can score goals. They've scored 30 on the season. They've really ran some teams off the field. But on the other hand, on the road and in certain home games, they've been too wide open. So I think the rest of the season, it's going to be a matter of tactical discipline and what kind of shape Wilmer Cabrera wants.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll be looking forward to watching you on the call tomorrow night. Hopefully it's a good one between Houston and Kansas City.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time. Looking forward to it as well.
Cheers, right. Matt.
Yep. There's Matt Pedersen. You guys worked together in Dallas.
Yeah, the GA Cup.
Yeah.
A few months ago. So good to hear him on the call tomorrow. And like you said, I think it should be a good one and an interesting one as well. I'm hoping Minotas starts because he did some damage against Sporting KC last year. He's an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's going to be interesting, and I think that we can talk about how much it hurts Sporting Kansas City to be without Beisler, Zusi, and Dwyer. Losing Elise and Kyoto is significant for the Houston Dynamo. Who knows if they would have played anyway in this game, but those two guys have been dynamite, particularly Elise. I mean, I think he's just he's a game changer for this Houston team.
I think he's top of the league in the expected goals plus assists stat. So he's been phenomenal and a guy mm-hmm. that a lot of people picked out from the Rio Olympics, and he's lived yep. up to that hype as well, which is tough to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take a break and come back and wrap things up with some conversation about the U.S. men's national team and hear from Dom Dwyer as we come back. It's the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, back to wrap things up on the Sporting Kansas City Show. As we have previewed the Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game tomorrow night, right now Tulsa and Swope Park Rangers, 15 minutes in, they are scoreless down in Tulsa. We also have a doubleheader coming up on Saturday. The United States men's national team will be taking on Ghana in a friendly on July 1st, and that's at 3:45 on ESPN. And then that leads right into the Sporting Kansas City game against the Portland Timbers at 6 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. Myself and LFA Carter Augustine will be on the radio call here on Sports Radio 810 WHB for that one. And Dom Dwyer could be making his United States men's national team debut in that game. Let's hear a couple of clips as Dom Dwyer spoke today about the opportunity to play for what is now his country, the United States. And the first thing he talked about was getting advice from his wife on what it's like to play for the United States national team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's been there, done it all. Even though it's a little different, it's still the same kind of thing. You know, she's always got good words of advice, she's experienced a lot, so it's cool. And I know quite a few guys on the team too, and they've gave me some advice and some of my teammates, so it's nice to be here.
And Dom Dwyer also spoke just about the honor of now playing for the United States.
I think that's a beautiful thing about the U.S. You know, they're very welcome to all, and it's an opportunity for me. My wife's American, my son is American, so. I've grown a lot of my life here as well, so I'm delighted to have this opportunity. I hope that the nation can welcome me in as well, and I can show them, pay them back some love.
So there is Dom Dwyer as he, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi will be on the team. We'll see how much playing time they get. Anybody in particular that you're excited to see in this edition of the Gold Cup, Carter?
Well, first of all, I think it's just really cool that Dom's getting a look, and I think that's a great American story. You know, mm-hmm. it's like an American dream right there, and you could really hear his smile when he was talking about his wife is American, his son is American. So mm-hmm. Definitely rooting for him. I think he might be behind on the depth chart in terms of the three forwards that are there, but we'll see. You know, he's got that bulldog mentality, so I would expect him to at least get a little bit of PT. But looking at the roster, it's an interesting one. You got some guys kind of in from the cold, like Eric Lehigh finally getting back in there. Mm-hmm. Somehow he only has 11 caps in his career, which is, I think that's pretty insane, really. I don't know why he was left out in the cold for so long. So I'm excited to see him, versatile defender, and he's been the Nottingham Forest Player of the Year a couple times. So, you know, he's got some talent. I don't know about you, but I still just I'm on the Kalyn Acosta train, and I think him being included in this lineup or in this roster, I think it's going to be a chance for him to really grab that position and make it his. So excited to see him. And then I think for me, an interesting one is Kenny Saif, the Israeli-American.
Yeah.
Kind of the opposite of Dom, right? Born in America, left when he was three, hasn't been back since. So
could have been an Israeli.
And he did play for Israel a couple non-binding friendlies, and I think he was on the bench for an actual game and didn't get called up. So he made the one-time switch. An interesting one. He was outright in an article with American Soccer Now that he views the U.S. as a better national team, and that is his reasoning. Mm-hmm. And that does make me a little uneasy, but if he's got quality, I guess, you know, that quality will take him the distance, and he's a left-footed player, and he can't get enough of those, really.
Yeah, and he's been playing, I believe, in Belgium.
Yeah, Ghent.
So professionally, so we'll see. Yeah, I'm very interested because he's a guy I don't know much about.
Yeah.
In terms of as a player, haven't ever watched him play.
But he's got Champions League. He's got Europa League experience. So
good pedigree there. And you know, he said maybe, you know, it could come down to just what kind of competitor he is, whether or not, you know, he gives everything he's got for the United States shirt. Because like you said, that's always a question sometimes with guys who have the split nationality.
We alluded to it earlier, though. It's like this is a very much a B squad because they're allowing most of the guys that have been through the qualifiers to get a little bit of a rest before some really crucial qualifiers coming up in the fall. But this happens almost every time because the Gold Cup is every 2 years. So during the World Cup cycle, when it happens, it's a chance for guys to really make their imprint and get into the World Cup team. And Stuart Holden, I think he's the best example. He did that back in before the 2010 World Cup, and he played so well. He got in and never gave up his spot until the injuries, unfortunately. But you play well in this tournament, and you could find yourself in Russia next year.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see if a guy like Matt Beasler can make some progress with Bruce Arena here because he's fallen down the depth chart quite a bit since the coaching change happened. And this is a prolonged opportunity for him to try to show the new coach what he's all about. I think Beasler's the kind of guy that a coach has to see day in and day out to appreciate because he doesn't do the highlight reel spectacular stuff. It's more the consistency of performance that won over Jurgen Klinsmann in the long run. Right now, it seems to be just a foregone conclusion that John Anthony Brooks is the guy. I still have a lot of skepticism about him and what he's proven so far as a player, but that's his job. But can Beasler work his way back up that depth chart to get himself in the discussion if Brooks gets injured or something like that happens?
Certainly playing well.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see that, and hopefully we get to see some Dom Dwyer out there as well. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks to Carrie Zavagnin. Thanks to Matt Pedersen, El Jefe Carter Augustine, and Charlie running the show. We'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show.